Pharmaceutical representatives often pitch their drugs by taking healthcare providers out to dinner. So, is your doctor being wined and dined? Sales tactics that are acceptable in the private sector sometimes cross ethical boundaries in the medical field. Pharmaceutical reps have to abide by certain guidelines, so these informational dinners aren't seen as kickbacks. But as it turns out, cheating those rules can be as easy as asking your waiter. That's what former restaurant worker and Buffalo resident David Essie found out while working in the industry a few years ago. Essie also has a master's degree in bioethics.
I was asked on a few different occasions to alter receipts to verify compliance.
Essie laid out these problems last summer in the American Medical Association Journal of Ethics. He says providing meals to physicians has been shown to increase drug sales. He concedes these dinners are small potatoes compared to, say, the exorbitant fees sometimes given to doctors to pitch drugs, but they're still worth examining. To provide more oversight, third-party compliance companies are hired to help plan and document the dinners, but Essie says there's little incentive to play by the rules. The compliance companies use the restaurant bill to document proper conduct, but Essie says these bills can easily be changed to show compliance.
Changing receipts, changing beverages, changing the number of meals, lowering the number of meals really to account for people that didn't sign in but still were eating there.
He says one of the most common reasons receipts are altered is to hide the attendance of extra guests, usually doctors' spouses. Essie says it's easy to change other things on the receipts. Mislabeling drink orders, for example, can get around the no cocktail service rule. One compliance representative told him flat out that if evidence of a violation did appear, he should just remove it from the bill. Brian Dahl heads a compliance consulting company in Kansas. He says most pharmaceutical reps do play by the rules.
I think there still are some rogue companies out there, but I think most of the mainstream companies are realizing that the cost of non-compliance can be pretty steep, and you know it's just good business anymore to do their marketing and sales activities in a compliant manner.
Essie says pharmaceutical companies' profit-driven structure make them willing to assume the risks of cheating if it winds up benefiting long-term sales. He says notorious non-compliance cases often stemmed from whistleblowers, not government oversight. If a compliance company implemented more scrupulous oversight measures like video recording, Essie says, it would snag itself in the marketplace. Virginia Evans served as chief compliance officer for Centre Health until last fall. She agrees the current structure is unacceptable.
Managers running the restaurants then kind of shift the risk off to the people who are actually managing the event, or in some cases the server, who is the person with, you know, the least amount of power, if you will, in that whole relationship, and the least able to say, no, Dr. Smith, you can't have a scotch and soda because this is supposed to be an educational event.
While doing research, Essie pretended he was a restaurant manager, and he called a compliance company. He asked if breaking compliance rules would bring more risk to the restaurant.
And without any sort of hesitation, the compliance rep immediately just said, as long as the receipts don't show that rules weren't followed, that's really all we care about.
With no liability on the restaurant's behalf and a gratuity-based culture for servers, Essie says it's laughable that a restaurant should be expected to enforce this kind of policy. He acknowledges that speaker meals are a lightly shaded ethical gray area. Dahl says there are bigger fish to fry.
The bigger component, and this is kind of validated through the enforcement actions that have been brought over the last few years, is not the meal, but the payment that's being provided to the speaker.
The American Medical Association declined numerous requests to comment. Essie says any solution must involve rethinking the current system's incentives and disincentives. The only state that currently prohibits industry-provided meals at speaker programs altogether is Vermont. Essie says one solution is to do that on a national level. Another solution, he says, leave the educating to pharmacists. Johnny Moran for WBFO News.